Hello, I'm Danny DeHeck, and this is What DeHeck Podcast. Thank you for tuning in and listening to my weekly podcast that I don't do weekly. Just recently published a blog. We're about to publish a blog, and it's all about podcasting. And I just wanted to show and tell people my journey about how I got into podcasting. So if you are watching on YouTube, you can see my screen. If you are listening to my podcast, I will try to make it as clear and precise and as helpful as you can imagine. So if you go to deheck.com, you'll actually find my website. And if you're trying to find this podcast, search for Podcasting Studio, and you should find the blog that I have published. Now, it's called 7 Steps to Creating Your Own Live Streaming Podcasting Show. So if you don't know, I've been playing around on the internet for the last few months, and I finally feel like I'm getting some traction. So I'm a bit of a podcaster, and I'm also an online course creator. And I provide workshops to help people survive and thrive in business. And I just want to share my journey of how that come to be, and I hope that you'll get some value. So my journey actually started about 2 years ago when I was trying to record 20 people in a room so I could use it as a podcast. It was actually some business at a business networking event that I actually run myself. So it would be true to say I'm always been a bit of a tech head. If I find any bit of software that's going to make me more productive and make me look more professional, I'm in. And I'll purchase things on my credit card and I'll worry about paying for it later. The problem of being able to record a video is there's so many different options available, and you really have to find what your purpose is or what you're trying to achieve. So my journey might not be the same as your journey, but I'm sure by listening to this podcast, you will get a lot of knowledge from reading, or as I do, listening to this article. I was inspired by a friend of mine called Rob Worley. He's currently trying to set himself up as we call a YouTuber, an educator. He is awesome at helping people overcome stuttering. And he's got this program. And I said, why don't you become an online course creator and all the courses you've been doing for years and years, make them online. And he's been going through some of the similar trials and tribulation I have been doing as well. So all due respect to Rob, and if you listen to this, Rob likes to do things on a budget. And he's been having a few problems getting his green screen set up. And I received this message from Rob that made me laugh. I've officially given up on getting green screen perfect. So I'm going to paint the wall as a backdrop. What do you think? And I'll be honest, that very message inspired me to actually write this article about my journey. So other people who are trying to get into the podcast community or become an online course creator can get some benefit from actually reading it. And there is no wrong or right way of doing it. Basically, I believe that you've got to be good today rather than perfect tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. So to make this a little bit more interesting for you as the listener, I'm actually going to break it into 7 different parts. So sound recorder, microphone, green screen, lighting, camera equipment, editing, and streaming. And one thing I never really do in my blogs, if you are watching this on YouTube, you can see them, is add images within the content. And this time I've made an exception to this post. So if you are looking at this, you'll see the 4 photos I got from Rob. He's put the first coat of black on his wall. I'm not sure why he picked black. And now he's got a happy face as he's actually managed to cut himself out correctly. And if you are watching me on this YouTube video, you can see that I'm cut out pretty good and I have a nice transparent background. And when I move my fingers around, you don't see green in between them. And that was something that I used to get. I still don't feel I've got it perfect. However, I think I've got it pretty good. And also, Rob's got no hair, and I've actually got to the stage where I think I should chop off my hair. So the first thing I actually thought of is I need a sound recorder. If I'm going to record these 20 people when I'm running a think tank meeting for my business networking company, I'll need a recorder. So I did a bit of research and I found out that there's a really good recording device called a Zoom H6. And what the H6 stands for means that I can actually plug in four external microphones, and the unit plugs two different types of microphones on the top, and a left and a right microphone. So potentially with this recording device, the Zoom H6, I could actually get six individual recording tracks, and I could record them all simultaneously, if I'm saying that correctly. And the good thing about it is you could actually power the unit with batteries, which I found kept going flat pretty quick after an hour and a half, or you could get a USB charger and plug it in and not have to have extension cords laying over the floor, which I thought was a really good benefit. So that was a really good unit for me to start my podcasting journey. But it wasn't really until I started hanging out in Clubhouse where I started talking to other podcasters, and there seemed to be an industry standard for recording devices. And the recording device that everyone said they should have is a Rodecaster Pro. Funny enough, though, that's probably not my recommendation if you want to be mobile. However, since I've had a Rodecaster Pro, I've actually never used my mobile device, which was the Zoom H6. And recently, I've actually switched my devices out, and I'm now using a Zoom Podtrack P8, which actually allows me to record eight different tracks, and it also is a mobile unit. And to be honest, if I were doing any mobile recording, I'd shove some batteries in the bottom of that, or plug it into a USB charger and use that device. So the beauty of having hardware, having the Podtrack, is you get the beauty of a mobile device and something that looks pretty on your desk, which I really do think is beneficial. So the main functionality, if you were going to record with either a Rodecaster Pro or a Zoom, is you can capture the sound from many devices, which means if somebody wants to be on your podcast and it's not going to be a video podcast, then they could literally ring you on your cell phone and you could record from your cell phone. If you wanted to do a Zoom meeting podcast, you could just record the sound from your PC. And it gives you so many different alternatives. And I'm trying to read some of the facts and the points I've brought out in my blog. And also, at the same time, if you want to, you can do your intro music. So let me give you an example of some intro music that I can just run on the fly. Say if you're talking to somebody and it's getting a bit boring, you can play crickets, in case you can't hear that. Hopefully you can hear that clear enough. Or you can play music. And it's quite good to be able to do that. So you can actually load a whole lot of different music files that you want to play while you're doing a podcast. And this cuts down a lot of the editing noise. So if you are thinking about getting a recording device and you're not on a budget, like my mate Rob, then I thoroughly recommend going and get a Podtrack P8. It's my preferred choice at the moment. I absolutely love it. Now let's get on to microphones. So this is number two. And I'll try to keep this as short as possible. And I learned very quickly that a big, expensive microphone isn't necessarily the best microphone. I got onto Trade Me, and if you listen to overseas, it's like eBay. And I found myself a half-price Blue Yeti Pro microphone. And I rushed around, bought it, got it back home, and I tried to start using it as a recording thing, and I just couldn't quite get it right. But I think at every stage of every podcaster's career, you are going to probably own a Blue Yeti mic. Every time you search the internet for podcasting microphones, the Blue Yeti seems to come up in the results. So it's not really about the brand of microphone that you want. It's actually more about the type of microphone you want if you want to be a podcaster. And you need to learn the difference. So for example, the Blue Yeti I had was a condenser microphone. And if I was recording my 20 people in the room and somebody decided to start tapping their spoon on the table, or somebody who was running late for the meeting, like a lady wearing high heels, all the sound would pick up those sounds and that would lose the focus of the podcast. I hope I explained that properly. I'm not very good at explaining it. But a dynamic microphone, that is a far better thing. Now, that's what I'm actually talking to you guys on at the moment. I have a small boom on my desk, which isn't recommended. You've got to get that mic off the desk, they say, but I have a real sturdy cast-iron frame holding my microphone. And if somebody was to walk into this room now, you wouldn't hear them. And dynamic microphone, you really want to be right on that microphone, and you can get really close to it, and you can get like a radio announcer sound on it. That is my preferred choice. So how I overcome that is, it wasn't until I rang up a sound company in Auckland. I'm in Christchurch, so somebody about 1,700 kilometres away, and I told them what I was trying to accomplish. And he sort of asked me what was my budget, and I said, well, I have a $35,000 limit on my credit card. I'm not too concerned about the cost, but I just want to accomplish recording people in a room. And he sent me down two microphones, and it's a BB40 Audio-Technica microphone. And it wasn't until I dragged my office back home and set up my recording studio that I'm using right now that I, until I really saw the how good these dynamic microphones really are, and that's what I'm using. So I have two in the office. One of them doing a guest interview, and the other one that I'm using right now. And I'm just so pleased I've actually invested in good quality microphones. So if you are recording something and you don't want to have that background noise, and you're not playing your electric guitar and trying to get every single chord out of the instrument and have it picked up, then you would be better to have a dynamic microphone. And I truly believe that if you're starting out in your podcast journey, a dynamic microphone will be a lot better. Unless you're really wealthy and you build yourself a recording studio, then I wouldn't recommend getting a condenser mic to play around with. Make it easy on yourself. What else do I want to share to you about microphones? Nothing really. I think we'll move on. If you're on this blog, you'll see there's a picture of my microphone. The other one is the what they call this, not the Spitguard, but they have this, I've forgotten what it's called, excuse me. But they have the screen over the microphone. So that's if I'm a Pickle Peter Piper Punkle Pinky Pookie, you won't get that high peaking noise when talking over your mic. So you can't see my microphone right now. And if you are a new podcaster, you really want to wear headphones and you want to connect with a cable to your device, and that will cut out a lot of the echo. I actually have speakers on my desk at the back, and I can hear when I'm interviewing people, but I don't want to have the headgear around. But hopefully you can hear me clear enough right now. So that's that thing. Right, the next thing we're going to talk about is a green screen. Do you need one? Yes, you do. Having a green screen is far more professional. It enables you to cut out the background. I have heard of people, when you're setting up your software, you can choose whether you've got a green screen or a blue screen. And I was always wondering why blue screens are used, and I found out that they're actually used in the movie industry. And they don't use them so much, so they still give you the option when you're setting up the software to pick whether you've got a green or a blue screen, which is really, really cool. So I purchased myself a 3 meter by 3 meter green screen, and it's behind me now, and it's hanging from a piece of Dell from the ceiling, and it works really, really well. I've actually got, which I'll talk about in a few minutes, I've actually got light lighting up the green screen behind me, and I've also got lights in my face, and that is causing a separation between me and the green screen so I can cut it out properly. Now, the purpose of a green screen is really that no one of your friends is going to be wearing green, and they can digitally remove one color from the digital recording. So if you are going to interview somebody in your office and you are standing in front of the green screen and they turn up wearing a green top, like Kermit the Frog, then make sure that doesn't happen, because they will disappear and they'll look like they're in the visible. I got my green screen off AliExpress. It cost me about $30. I do actually sell them on my electronics store if you want one, but you'll pay twice the price as you would of AliExpress. And if you want a hand, message me and I'll tell you what type of one to get, because there's different qualities out there. But it's not just green cloth, it's a chroma key green screen that you want. Okay, and also the good thing about a green screen, if you are watching this on the YouTube video, I can stand back here. And even though you can't hear me very well, one day you may actually want to be able to stand back. You may actually have somebody interviewing, and straight away you can see that my background is starting to break up because the lighting is bouncing off the green screen and it's causing all sorts of grief. So I've set myself up at the moment to be directly in front of the camera. I am probably 600 millimeters away from the camera, and now the lights have adjusted and my green's gone green screen has made my background transparent, and then you can see what's on my screen as I'm doing my workshops. Enough about green screen. Go get one immediately. Lighting. Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't have really put much thought into lighting when I first started out. I just really wanted to record sound. But however, when we went into lockdown, everyone, especially my business network, and we all went on to Zoom. So then it became how good is your picture and how good is your sound. And my whole purpose of being a podcaster had changed. Now I wanted to be streaming. And there's a lot more effort when you're trying to be a streamer, a podcaster, and doing Zoom calls and switching between different microphones and different setups. So my lighting journey actually started when my partner, who's a professional photographer, Helen Oakes, she decided that she would buy herself about $900 worth of lights, and they're called Aperture lights. And I bought it's a travel kit, and there's four lights. So the beauty of those four lights is I set one on top of the camera. I've got one left and right, and I can choose whether I have them on 100% or 60%, and I can basically play around until I get my lighting right. I can also pick out the warmth of the light. Now, you could get away with a $50 ring light, and there's nothing really wrong with that. But I wanted to have an even light, and also, I don't even notice, but I'm wearing glasses. And if you are wearing glasses, you can get a special anti-reflection coating on the glasses, and it means that people can see your eyes, which when I didn't have that, I felt like I'm not engaging with people, because when I'm talking to people, even on camera and I'm doing my workshop, they tell you that what you really should be trying to accomplish is you should be talking one-on-one with a person who's listening to your workshop. So I hope you are enjoying me talking directly and looking straight into your eyes like we're in the same room. Imagine if my glasses didn't have the reflective coating on them, you wouldn't be able to see my eyes and we wouldn't have eye contact. It wouldn't be the same, would it? All right, so just a wee tip. If you are using the lightings, what I actually do, I try to light up my face as much as I can with the Aperture lights. So if you have a ring light, then light up your face as much as you can. And the other light that you can't see, but you can see in the picture, is basically, I've gotten what it's called Godox, and it's a 1000 version 2 if you really want to know. And what that does, that I shed that light onto the green screen and try to get the green screen light as even as possible. So if you are able to use natural lighting, that will be good. You won't need to even use a light. However, what will happen on a rainy day is it will change the color of your green screen. And then halfway through your whatever you're doing, you'll notice that things in the green screen start appearing, like that bright afternoon sun. So if you can't get away from the afternoon sun, then shut the curtains and rely on your LED lights and let them light yourself up artificially. And you can play around a lot with your color of your skin. Originally, I found it really hard not to look too pasty on the screen, but the lights really help. And also, as we talk about a little bit further down the track, we'll talk about the camera gear that I use as well. Now, I'm just going to quickly read my own blog here and make sure I've mentioned everything and I haven't left out any good gems. I think we're doing pretty good. Right, so on to the next part, the camera equipment. Right, so when you first start out, you think you can get away using Apple's built-in camera because it's 1080, and you can. The problem with a lot of people, I have an external keyboard. If you are using your keyboard on your laptop and your screen is attached, you'll hear yourself typing a lot more and it'll be distracting. And I don't feel you need to get the camera up to eye height or a little bit higher and have it looking down on you a little bit, and it's very hard. So go get yourself an external camera that you can plug into your laptop, and then you can put that camera wherever you need to and grab a tripod as well. Now, my recommendation is I went and got the best webcam on the market at the time, and it probably still is a Logitech Bruno, I think it's called, a 4K ultra high definition webcam. Sounds good, doesn't it? It was useless. It was useless because every time I plugged it into my computer, I had to install the software, and I had to pick whether it was wireframe, if I wanted it to record it in 4K, which I thought it was going to, where it was all going. It made it really hard for the audio to lip sync, and it looked like I was lagging. So I still have that problem now. If you're watching the YouTube video, you'll see my lips aren't actually in tune with what I am saying, because when you're recording in 4K, it's too much data for the sound. That's a lot lower, I don't even know how to say that, a lot lower, I know frequency, but it has trouble keeping up with the 4K. So now, right now, I am using a fancy Nancy camera, which we'll talk about in a minute. And I can record 4K, but I'm recording at 30 frames per second, and I'm only recording at 1080, because everything is an overkill, to be honest. And I am talking about my camera. I forgot what section we're at. So I've gone out and bought myself a beautiful little wee camera. I'm into street photography. I just bought myself a Sony A6400. It's the best little wee camera I've ever owned. I've traveled to India, Bangladesh, and China just before COVID, and I took some awesome street photography. The beauty thing about this camera is when you click the button, it doesn't go click, click. You can turn off the clicker, which is great for street photography. What I did, I went into the camera shop, and I asked for a 24mm. I wanted a 24mm prime lens. And the guy said, here's the one you want. It's $1,700. And I'm like, oh my goodness, $1,700. I don't know if I want to spend that much. He said, however, I have the identical lens, half price. Well, it's on special, secondhand, for $700. When I come home and plug that, you also need a 4K adapter that you plug into the back of your computer that converts it into 4K. It's quite complicated, but you need to go and get yourself a Sony A6400, and you also need to get yourself a prime lens, and you also need to go get yourself a Kinect K4 adapter, and you could spend a pretty penny, over $3,000, but when you plug it all in, it all works, and you get really nice, clear images. Your green screen becomes a lot clearer. And while you're there, you might as well grab yourself a good sturdy tripod. And my camera is right directly on top of my screen. And just below that screen, literally about that far, which is about 3 inches, I'm reading my words. So it looks like I'm looking at you, but every now and again I can look down and I'm not really looking away from the camera. And don't you feel like you're here with me? And it's good, and so that's great, isn't it? I want you to go buy one of those, and if you're on the blog, you'll obviously see some pictures. Editing, let's go. Fade in, fade out, transition, cut, copy, paste, replace. You'll be doing that all day long if you want to edit each video. Now, if I wanted to edit this podcast and this YouTube video I'm doing right now, it's going to take me, I reckon, every half an hour worth of talking. You'll need to spend up to 2 or 3 hours worth of editing. And I don't personally like doing that. So I've got a few tips for you. If you are going to, first of all, get some editing software, there seems to be two industry standards that everyone fights back and forth with. You can go get Adobe Premiere Pro, or if you're a Mac user, you could get Final Cut Pro. Now, Final Cut Pro is a set price. You buy it once, I think it was $500, and you're done and dusted. Adobe Premiere Pro, I think there's a monthly plan of around $50 to $60 a month for that, but you'll need to go back to school to learn how to use it, which isn't a bad thing if you like school, but I've got better things to do with my time. And it's quite daunting, but the industry standard, with the people I talk to, everyone seems to love Adobe Premiere Pro. There are some free ones out there. So if you're like me and you use Final Cut Pro, which is a Mac product, and you're used to using iMovie, then you'll find it easy peasy, because it's like a iMovie, which is free, version zooped up. So what my goal was, I want to record live. And I don't mean being live streamer, but I want to be like a live streamer, and I want to be able to flick between screens, and I want to be able to play intro music like this without having to do all the editing along the way. So that's what you can do if you've got yourself a Rodecaster Pro, or you go out and get the Zoom PodTrack P8. You can just add music in when you want to. And you can also use different bits of software to fade in and fade out. So that means there'll be less editing time. So once I've finished this, it's not going to be too polished. There's going to be a few mistakes. I'm just going to upload the video to YouTube, Facebook, and anywhere else I can find a place to upload. So my philosophy is to record yourself like you're live streaming and upload your videos once you are finished. And you'll honestly get more views and more people looking at your content than you would if you were streaming. I'll talk about that a little bit more below. Let's see what else to do. So my goal anyway is I'm actually doing online course creation. Now, in an ideal world, I would go and get my raw footage and I would send it to an editing company, and they'd send me back the MP4s, they'd send me a big, huge bill, and then I'd upload that to my course, and I'd be done. Most of the courses I produced, like the last one I did was WordPress 101, and I, from memory, I think it's got about 17 or 18 different little video clips. Now, if I want to update one of those at a later date, I'd have to go back to that editing company. Theoretically, I'd want to make sure I'm wearing the same clothes, and it would be a hassle. So what I'm trying to do is be good today rather than perfect tomorrow. So that means if I need to edit because there's a new plugin and it's no longer current in my workshop, then I want to be able to edit that on the fly and get it done. So I've got myself set up where I can basically click a button, record, get my video uploaded all within half an hour, and if it's not perfect, then sorry, but get some therapy, you'll be fine. And that's what I reckon is really, really awesome. So number seven, we're getting there, streaming. As I said, having the ability to click a button and start broadcasting yourself on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitch, if you're into gaming, it does sound quite appealing. And as I said previously, unless you have a large following of people and you're a celebrity, you are actually not going to get hardly anyone watching your live streams. And if you watch these live streamers on the internet, you will notice that a lot of the time they only have one or two or three people watching live. If you were Tom Cruise and you decided that you were going to start streaming, you would probably have thousands of people. That's what live streaming is for. Once upon a time, live streaming was there for people. How do I explain this? They were competing with Facebook. And they would push your live streamers' content out there first, and it would intercept a lot of the uploaded video content. So there's different audiences for live streaming. But if you want to get rich and famous by doing YouTubing, then you want to upload your videos. You want to also make sure you save all your videos in your Dropbox or on your computer, so that if you ever change platforms and there's a new YouTube platform out there, you can upload those videos. So when I do a video, I do it like I'm a live streamer, but I record it as a video and then I upload it to Facebook and also YouTube and sometimes Vimeo, but that's a different story altogether. And I think that's the best way of going about it. Now, two bits of software I nearly wet my pants with when I found out about was OBS. OBS enables me to have me as a little person like I am at the moment on the bottom left-hand side. Enables me to hook up a green screen, enables me to have my browser so you can see it as I'm surfing the web. I can open different bits of software on my computer. I can do a PowerPoint presentation. OBS is designed to do that, and it's open source software. It is absolutely brilliant. I had real troubles with sound, and I had to use a software called Loopback, and they're called virtual audio cables. So when I was doing a Zoom meeting with people, I couldn't capture the sound into the computer to record it. And I used program like OBS and I used Loopback, and eventually I managed to get it all going together. And it was like, how do I explain? It was kind of like, what's got it going? I didn't want to touch it because I'd break it. As soon as I went and got the Rodecaster or the Podtrac P8, all those problems went away. And then one day I discovered a piece of software called Manycam. So M-A-N-Y Cam, C-A-M, good on me for spelling that, being dyslexic and all. And that software, I think I paid for the basic license, and then they sent me an email saying if I paid $20 more, I would get the premier license. And I think from memory, it could have been $120 all up. So it's a bit of an investment, but that's the software I'm using right now, which enables me to click a button, come back to you in full screen, and click another button and flip back and forth without much grief. And also, as you know, I can put my music in, fade in, fade out, and all that sort of stuff, but I'm using the Zoom P8 for that. So it's really cool. So the other bit of software you want to do is you want to get a bit of software called Stream Deck, Deck. And that will enable you to set up shortcut buttons. So right now, if you look at the screen, you'll see a picture of my iPad. And I've got open, close, record, pause. And I've got Danny, workshop, screen, cursor, email, which is my email program, live chat, and switch. So switch is one button where I can just hit one button and it will switch me back and forth. And I think that's absolutely amazing. So I hope that has helped you. As in my conclusion, I've actually said, by being dyslexic, I really struggle with learning. And the only way I really learn is by trial and error. And boy, have I learned a lot. And that was my purpose for doing this podcast, this blog, was basically to share my experience, knowledge, and skills with you. So I hope you've enjoyed reading about my journey I've had. I've had to really reinvent myself lately. And if you don't know about me, I actually own a business networking company, and I get like-minded people together. And I used to have meetings in the morning, 7:30 and 9:30 in the morning, in different bars and cafes in my hometown, Christchurch. And when COVID happened, basically all the face-to-face stuff, as you know, stopped, and I had to reinvent myself. I've been a website developer for over 20 years. I've got a lot of good stories to tell, and that's why I thought I'd get into podcasting. So my first podcast ever was actually to record my think tank meeting for my business networking company, Elite Six. And then when that sort of fell over, I decided to carry that on, use the same content, and now I have a podcast called What the Heck, and that's the one you're listening to now. I think anything you do in business, you should have a few laughs along the way. And some of the things I've done and some of the experiences I've had just getting into this podcasting world has been a bit of a laugh. So I've really enjoyed doing that. And so be prepared to make a few blunders. Be prepared to have a garage full of stuff that you don't use anymore. Give it to your friend who's trying to get into podcasting and see if he can make use of it. If you want any support with the stuff that I've talked about today, I've got a whole list of things I'm really passionate about listed on my blog, such as even WordPress, Podia, Buzzsprout, WP Engine, all these different bits of software that I use. So I encourage you to have a read. Thank you for listening. Now, with a bit of luck, I will be able to play my end music and fade out like a hero. So let's play that now. I'll be able to switch my screen back to my big face, and I'll be able to say thank you for listening to Danny DeHeck on What the Heck podcast. If you would be so kind to share it with all your friends, family, and whānau, that would be awesome. And that share button, and please press some comments, put some comments on there about what you thought. And if you've got a funny story, please post it below. And take care and look after yourself, and I'll see you on my next podcast. Have a great evening. Now I've got to look for the stop button. Recording, close, record. There it is. Okay, see you guys.